The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Yesterday, as you probably heard, South Dublin County Council refused planning permission for a new Google data centre located in South Dublin. They cited the existing insufficient capacity in the electricity network and the lack of significant on-site renewable energy to power that data centre. That was the primary reason for a refusal. Now, this morning, Dublin Chamber is warning that the country is at risk of an acute water shortage within the next 10 years and that Dublin is particularly vulnerable. The Irish Times, meanwhile, is reporting on the sharp rise in early release of inmates due to prison overcrowding. And all of this follows on new CSO figures which reveal our growing population and equally the significantly ageing part of the population now that is existing here. Rising costs expected down the line for healthcare, for nursing homes, for pensions. Well, joining me in studio to talk about all of this is Conor Skehan, Sunday Independent columnist and town planner. Conor, good morning. Good
morning, Pat.
It was just the confluence of stories struck me. You know, we can't have another data centre, even though it might be a good thing for Ireland Inc., because we don't have the juice. And the other stuff that comes from the sky, happily, rain, not enough of it being caught in the catchment. Should there be any kind of glitch in Dublin's water supply?
Well, the word I used to teach planning for many, many years. And the first words out of my mouth on the first day is to tell the students that the word plan means to make provision for the future.
Yeah.
That's what it means. The system of planning in Ireland has become a whole lot of other things that are more to do with permitting and administrative tasks. But the core business about making for the provision for the future has kind of gotten lost.
I mean, the idea of how many students are going to need a secondary school place in 2030? And do we have the capacity and do we have the teachers?
The provision of schools is one of the things we're pretty good at, so I won't argue on that.
No, but that's a good example of how you do plan.
It is, yeah, exactly. And the Department of Education are pretty smart at that. I feel sorry for them sometimes because students are a very ephemeral population, so you could have a whole bunch of very young people in an area and in 17 years they'll all be gone. You know, so
yeah.
it's a tricky one. So let's not pick on them. But the ones you mentioned earlier of water and power, they're huge because they're what drive our economy. These should not be surprises. I mean, I got myself in tons of trouble way back in the day when Phil Hogan was Minister for the Environment by being told to go back in and explain to chief executives of various different semi-states. He said to me, tell the chief executive what you just told me. And now you know how long ago that was, right? And I was saying things like the water from the Shannon, like enough power, and how we had absolutely no chance of hitting the targets by 2020. That's what I was saying to him back then, much less 2025. And here we are now with our drawers down around our ankles, unable to run. These were predictable. And the things that are stopping them are a combination of things that have to do with our culture. So the culture here is a culture of highly centralized government. Many people in Ireland are unaware of the fact that this is by far the most centralised system of government in Europe. It leaves in the shade the countries of former Eastern Europe. That's
really
how centralised. There is no comparison.
In other words, you have your councils, but they don't have any power and they don't have any money.
It's not just the councils. It goes all the way to the top then. So if, for instance, like the people involved in transportation, people involved in water supply, people involved in energy, I've known them all my life. They're incredible people. Energetic, intelligent, hardworking, smart, right? But they're answering in every case to three masters. So take electricity, the CRU, the department, the air grid themselves. Like, who are you going to go to make a plan? And each of those plans are being pulled in different directions. We're seeing things like the planning of Dublin being carried out by a transportation authority, a fantastic transportation authority. They're people who plan ahead. They're people who really know what they're doing, full of brights, right? But remember, things like roads and electricity, they're called services for a reason. Yeah. They serve. They should never lead. And we're in that situation now where any energetic agency that has any bit of gumption is running well away ahead of the pack, but it's not in any kind of a coordinated
so
way.
So when, for example, they're talking about the, what's it going to be, the M20 from Limerick to Cork, that is decided not by the councils in Limerick and Cork.
No.
It's central government decide it's going to happen.
There's a thing called a hierarchy of decision making. And so people in, let's pick on Kilmallock. People in Kilmallock, in County Limerick, I think it still is, don't really get to say where and how the road should go from Cork to Limerick. There are decisions that are appropriate at each stage. The business I'm talking about the lack of this joined-up thinking, is the failure to have a single point of authority at the top who are accountable. That's the key thing. They're accountable to legislation, they're accountable to elected representatives, they're financially accountable, and if they don't get the stuff done in the time that's required, they're gone.
But, you know, that business of communicating with each other and where it should all start. For example, I know in Portugal, where I've seen this happen, they're going to build, say, a housing estate, large housing estate with lots of apartments and houses and so on. The first thing that goes in is the road infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Even the post box is there and the street lighting before the developer is allowed to put brick on brick.
We'd be very careful not to get caught up with, and with all due respect to yourself, with old fashioned ideas. You go up to Cherrywood, not far from where I gather you live, and the bus lanes are in place, the parks are in place, the schools are in place, the roads are in place, the Lewis is in place. There's Lewis stops, for listeners who aren't familiar with it, out in the middle of a field. There's a Lewis and it stops in the middle of a field. We do it. We can do it. And what I would really like us to start to do is to look at what we've done successfully and give ourselves credit for it. So instead of beating ourselves up about things that haven't happened, look at something like the Port Tunnel. The Port Tunnel, when it was built, was the second largest urban traffic tunnel in Europe. Came in on time, on budget. It's a fantastic thing for the city.
Broadband looks like going the same way.
Same way. So when we set our mind to do things, we can do them incredibly well. So the problem isn't the donkeys. It's not the donkeys, you know. It's the people who are leading them and how that's happening. And they're very deep structural issues to do with law and public administration. That's what we have to take out and look at. But anytime we try and talk about it, anytime I try and write about it, editors and producers say, look, that's boring. Give us something exciting and sexy. Public administration is the most boring thing
but
to write
But going
about.
Back to who starts
see,
what.
See,
I mean,
you've just done it.
No, but what I'm concerned about is that you're looking at projections for population growth. Mm. That population needs power. Yeah. That population needs water.
Yeah.
Now, surely the way it must start is, where is the population going to live? And who decides that? Because that depends on what Airgrid are going to do in terms of the power delivery. It depends what Irish Water are going to do in terms of utility delivery for sewage and for...
You've almost hit the nail on the head with one exception, which is that the core part of your question of who decides where people are going to live is the people themselves. You cannot tell somebody who's about to have a baby that she's got to go and live down in Kildare because that's where we want her to live. She's going to live near her mammy, or she's going to live where she can afford something, or she's going to live where she's always been. So the big problem here is that...
No, I'm not suggesting you do it by diktat.
Our entire planning system is based on that. Entire national planning system is based on telling people where they should live.
You know what we tell people all the time? The cost of your house, if it's near a Lewis line or the Dart, is going to be 100 grand more than it would be otherwise. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you know when you put in a utility, there's going to be population around that transport utility. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you know there's going to be loads of people there in the coming years. And therefore, you know you've got to give them water and power.
The problem is that we are pulling against ourselves. We do have we have the national planning framework. We have very powerful national plans. But they are trying to put that stuff where they think people should be, where they think jobs should be, for ideological reasons based on things like balanced regional development, which are all good and fair in their own right. The reality is County Laois, fastest growing population in Ireland, right? Most neglected county in Ireland for infrastructure because people are not supposed to live there. Bad people.
But people are living there.
In huge numbers. And the National Planning Framework is out for consultation. It's being refreshed at the moment. And it contains admissions of the embarrassment that people are living where they're not supposed to be living. So it has real effects. So when you say the housing targets for Dublin are small, while somewhere like Waterford is expected to double in population in the next 10 years, people aren't going to Waterford, even though there's bags of land for that down there now. But the people who want to build in Dublin can't build here. You can't get the zoning, you can't get the permission because the national planning framework wants this part of the country to be contracted, smaller, less, and not grow. That's madness, Pat.
Okay, so you say people go where they want to be. If there's no housing for them, they go to Laois. And then as soon as a house becomes available, when we have this supply, they're back to Dublin. Is that really what you're saying?
Yeah, and you've got to be realistic about where people want to live. People, jobs follow people. You can't make a job where in the middle of a bog, in the middle of a field. You can't do it. Jobs follow people. I work with the IDA all the time, trying to get new investment into places. The first thing they look for is the number of people. The second thing they look is the educational attainment and skills level. And the last thing below that is whether they have specializations in particular fields.
I mean, you're outlining how complex the whole thing is, because if you, for example, you bring an institute of technology to a rural town, then in theory, you have the people.
Yes, exactly. And if you were to do real long-term planning, like this thing of slow cooking, slow planning, that's exactly what the right thing to do is. It's much more important to put things like an education institution into a town than a factory. Factories come and go. But any medium-sized education institution has all the teachers, all the staff, spending money, needing to have places to live. That's how you put a sustainable economy in place. And then exactly as you say, that's followed then by the people who need those skills.
Okay, so if we have an inertia, and I mean, sometimes it's a fire brigade operation, you need more hospital beds. You should be building them right now. Remember years ago, wasn't it, Professor Drum said we need fewer hospital beds.
Yeah.
Then Thornton Hall for prisons. We're letting people out of prison who maybe should not be let out on early release because we've more people coming in. And we also want to lock up everybody who's a social vandal or whatever. Thornton Hall has been abandoned effectively. So what do you do? First of all, the fire brigade operations, more hospital beds, more prisons, and then the more long-term stuff with 5-year terms of government.
It's a blend of the two. Yeah, yeah, exactly. The 5-year, the 5-year term of government is a big part of the problem, and the short-termism of political votes. We'll come back to that another time. The business about the fire brigade stuff, fire brigade isn't necessarily bad. I mean, in modern industry, they have a term called just-in-time delivery. Yeah. When we were involved at the very start of Intel out in Leixlip, the county manager in Kildare said, by the time you have this factory built, I'll have a link to the motorway built to you, right?
Yeah.
And he did. He did.
Okay.
And the same with the power and the same with the water. So we're very good at that in this country. And it is one of the things that's a big challenge to conventional planners, the idea that you have to have everything in place ahead. We're very, very good, or we have been in the past in Ireland, getting stuff to where it's needed just in time, which is a very good way of using your resources as economically as possible.
But I think maybe the example of the local politicians and all the other vested interests having their say is in the motorway development, where there wasn't a service station put on the motorway network. They had to be superimposed later on. I mean, what kind of daft thinking that you'd nip into Cashel to buy your sandwich and fill your tank rather than want it on the motorway?
Yeah, well, I was involved in a lot of those motorways. Actually, the motorways is another example of us getting stuff right. We built the entire motorway network in less than 15 years from scratch. An amazing achievement. But as you say, the hurry to get that done meant an awful lot of stuff that would be now regarded as refinements, like the motorway stops. They fell
but
by the wayside.
That wasn't really about, they might need a sandwich and a bit of juice. No, it was about, let's not starve the local town of the traffic that used to come through and clog the town.
Yeah. It was partly at the time, at the risk of telling tales out of school, of people just, they were in a hurry. Let's just get the road built. We can deal with the local politics later. They were wise enough to realise if they tried to deal with that at the time, nothing would have been built.
So in summary, what do we need to do?
We need to recognise that the roots of the problem don't begin with planning, as we conventionally use, and that planning itself is a much more complex issue, and that one of the two big issues to do with it are one of them, which we haven't touched, which is law. Law is the cause of almost all so-called planning problems in Ireland. Apologies to all my friends who are lawyers, but it's a disgrace in Ireland. And then the over-centralisation of a public administration, where you've got a triplication in many instances of decision-making. They're the two big things.
Conor Skeen, Sunday Independent columnist and town planner, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.